This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hi, this is Brock Wisney, former UNC men's basketball player, and you're listening to The Whole Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into The Whole Show. Glad you guys could be with us here. Just 22 minutes after the hour, connecting with Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, here in just a moment. And a very big season, no doubt about it, coming up for Coach Prime and his Colorado Buffaloes as they hope to make some noise in the Big 12 this year. It's going to be fascinating, man. I mean, it's still a very interesting story. I liked what they were doing. I think I like what they were doing last week. You know, going and obviously visiting, connecting with Troy Calhoun and the Air Force roster, all that. So interesting. I believe they're back in Boulder now, but I do applaud just the thinking outside the box. Mark Johnson, the voice of the Buffaloes, joining us. Mark, my friend, always good to catch up with you. How you doing on this Monday, August 10th? We're getting dangerously close to the start of the season.
Well, it's coming up on us. You know, last Monday I was down in the Springs. I did go down 2 days last week. The reason Prime asked me today wasn't why I wasn't down there every day, and I said, dude, it's like 3 hours from my house. I
mean, it's a journey for you, man.
Well, and you know, and if folks up in your neck of the woods don't know, I mean, the high school they were at, Fountain Fort Carson, is nearly to Pueblo. I mean, it's on the south end of Colorado Springs. And so I was down there twice last week. It was a good camp. I think there were good things. Monday's practice, they were not good. All right? And Deion and I were talking about that today. He said, yeah, they came out. They were flat. As the week wore on, they got better. They were better today. I was out of practice, obviously, here in Boulder today. And you're starting to see this. I was concerned walking away from practice one. When we did the speaking event together in the Springs, I said, okay, how were the last couple of days? He said, we were really good. And I said, okay, good. Now, I saw it with my own eyes today. And so whatever reason, they came out flat. Maybe it was sleeping in dorms and not air conditioning. I don't know what it was, but they weren't very good on day one. But they've done some nice things improving here in the last 6-7 days.
Now, Mark, obviously there's several reasons for, you know, doing this, going to Fountain Fort Carson, trying to get this – I don't know, a sense of togetherness with this team.
Yes.
Did you, you say Monday, that last Monday that came out did not look good, but then obviously coming out here today back in Boulder, do you get that sense that there was some kind of, you know, camaraderie being built up in the last week or so?
Well, think about the era of college athletics we're in right now. You and I talk about it all the time, right? You lose 50 guys, you gain 50 guys. Guys come in and in large part, you know, and no one's hanging around. We just did a little post-practice deal with Yaya T, who's been here now. This is his third season. And that's becoming a rarity in college athletics. So every year it's getting to know guys. And so I think as Prime looked at this, he thought, okay, what can we do to help speed up that process of continuity, of bonding, of getting to know each other? All the things we look at in college athletics and sports in general, where you play for each other, you trust the guy next, all these different cliches we talk about. How can we speed that process up? And so we thought, well, let's do like a NFL-type training camp where you go someplace. You're in the dorms. You're sleeping on small beds. You're suffering in large part together through uncomfortable situations. And so they seem to think at this point that it's helped the process to speed up whatever that is that – you know, maybe now in traditional college athletics, we don't see anymore where this day and age, it might take a half a season to kind of get to know each other. And so I think the early dividends, anyway, are positive at this point. We'll see what that means now once we get to the season.
Now, is that kind of more of like Coach Prime looking inward, too, saying, hey, last year, maybe we didn't have that sense of team leadership within the roster. I have to find a way to get better in that area. Let's get creative. Let's find something to do.
Yeah, without question. I mean, you know, he, in fact, to the two offensive line or three offensive line coaches I spoke to, they all talked in some degree about that. That, you know, it's about self-evaluation. Listen, if your fans don't know this, every year when a team is done with a season, The greatest amount of self-evaluation takes place, happens there. They look back on everything. What did we do right? What did we do wrong? How could we change? How can we alter? And so after a disappointing year a year ago, they looked at that and said, wait a minute, what? There was something missing, okay? We think it was that cohesiveness, that camaraderie, that brotherhood that you need to play football, which is the toughest sport there is from a physical standpoint. We didn't have that because guys didn't know each other. So how do we build it? And so that's where this idea came from. And so, like I said, that's good self-scouting, as Gary always talks. Gary, when he and I have conversations, always talks about self-scouting. You got to self-scout. They do that during the season from game to game, and you do that, like I said, in the lion's share after the season's over. And so that's what that was all about. And you know, like I said, we'll see if it works. It appears too early on, and so I think that can only be a positive moving forward.
Mark Johnson joining us, the voice of the Buffs. You talked to us a little bit last week about the quarterbacks on this roster. And, you know, before our conversation last week, I was just basically thinking, okay, it's Julian Lewis. Let's see what this is all about. It's going to be his team now. But you said, hey, not so fast. There's a little bit of a competition brewing with Isaac Wilson as well.
Yep.
What have you seen or heard in the last week? Do you feel like Lewis is taking control of this competition, or is it still kind of very much in the air?
I think Lewis is taking, you know, when Gary and I were standing in the practice field today, I said, Julian's getting the lion's share. And he said, yeah. He said, you know, after that first day or two, you kind of go, well, okay, Isaac Wilson's going to push him. But I think it became apparent to me, at least that's what our assessment was, that Julian has kind of, you know, taken control of it. Now, does that mean the competition's over? Absolutely not. They've got a lot of practice left till they get to that first game at Georgia Tech coming up in early September. But I think right now the clubhouse leader certainly is Julian Lewis. Now we'll see what happens as time goes on. They're going to have a public practice tomorrow. I'm looking forward to that. Prime and I were talking about that. I said, tell me about doing that. He goes, I want these guys to come out and perform, right? They don't want to get beat in front of a crowd. Is it going to be a huge crowd? No, but they're going to have some people out here. They're going to be able to watch now. And so we'll see when that kind of pressure is put on, what Juju does, what Isaac Wilson does. But I think the last, what have I had now, six practices, the last four or five, it looks to me like Juju has kind of said, okay, this is my job. If you want it, you're going to have to come take it. But I'd say right now he certainly is the leader in the clubhouse and is looking pretty good out there, to be honest with you.
Mark, in talking about the Fountain Fort Carson practices, you know, getting more roster leadership,
yeah.
First off, who do you kind of see as far as a handful of guys stepping up and taking on that role? And I guess the second, the follow-up to that is, do you really see Julian Lewis taking that step?
Well, you know, and that's going to be something that's going to be interesting to watch because he's a young quarterback. That's a tough deal right there. And, you know, what have we done from a societal standpoint that you and I talk about so frequently with these guys? We anoint them before they have earned it. And I think that's a dangerous thing because one thing that I think it germinates leadership is when you struggle, you fight, you learn to set standards. First you learn to meet standards, then you learn to set standards. All those different things that go into leadership. I think we're skipping that process when we anoint guys. And so he's a young – now remember, he came out early, Brady, and so he's supposed to be here right now as a true freshman right now. This should be his first training camp, but he came out early a year ago. And so he still is a very young guy. He's 18 years old, and so that will develop with time. Just because you play the position does not make you a great leader. We know that from watching football for a long time. Not all quarterbacks are great leaders. You want them to be. I think as I look at this team right now, he'll get leadership by default, and then he'll earn and grow and mature in a leadership standpoint as time goes on. I think I mentioned Yaya Atiyah a moment ago. I think he's a leader. He's a big personality. He's big, strong guy, playing center, leading that offensive line. I think Ben Finneseth is a guy at Durango that has grown into that kind of position. I think he's going to be a guy. You know, you wonder about Gideon Lampron, the kid, the ESPN kid, because he's played a lot of football and he's a linebacker. He's a guy that makes a lot of tackles. That position lends itself to that. I'm kind of watching him. There are going to be some of these other new guys, these skill guys that are eventually going to pop up and become leaders in this team. I'm just not sure after watching now, I guess my third practice, that I can really name many of those guys. But there's at least three names I look at right now and say, yeah, probably those guys find themselves in a leadership position.
Mark Johnson joining us. Hey, I have to make the connection, ask this question too. We've had some of our Bears fans asking about this, but former Bear tight end Fisher Clements, I thought was going to do some really big things for UNC, but kind of battled injuries a lot. Are you hearing anything from him that would lead you to believe we might see, you know, a good chunk of him this season?
I think they've got a pretty good tight end room, and I haven't been able to say that for a while. They've got some depth there. I've watched him catch a few passes. Beyond that, I can't say much beyond that, but certainly he's been in the mix, making some plays, catching some balls, and, you know, the cream will kind of rise here as we kind of work our way. But I couldn't tell you right now. Maybe Zach Atkins at this point might be maybe the number one tight end, but outside of that, I'm not sure. There's two or three other guys that have played a little bit here, but yeah, I think he's in a mix, but I couldn't tell you right now to what degree at this point.
Are there any kind of, you know, strengths that you're really looking at? I mean, is this one of those where, hey, if Julian Lewis has a great season, then obviously this team's, and I know so much of that can be the case with any team with your quarterback, but do you look at this and say maybe the running back room? I'm curious to see how Damian Henderson does, former Ram making the change over to CU. Do you look at a certain group and think maybe that could potentially be the identity of this Buffs team?
I think because of the kind of guys they've gone out and gotten on the offensive front, this is a very large offensive line. I mean, somebody posted something the other day after the whole deal about somebody came out and said CU was a small team. Somebody posted the offensive line. The average offensive line size, I think, is like 6'7", like 322. And so it's one of the larger offensive lines in America, okay? I think, and the way this offense sits up, Atiyah was talking today, and Javon McFadden, the Ohio State transfer, were talking about this. The way this offense is set up, they come out off the ball almost exclusively, not entirely, but almost exclusively, like it's going to be a run play, like an RPO. So they come out as if it's a run. They feel they can be extremely aggressive and be a very good running team. If that is the case, and that's always been kind of the bread and butter of what this go-go has been, a very strong running game, and then they, you know, as you're biting on that, they throw it up over the top. And so it's not as finesse an offense as people, I think, assume that it is. It's more of a power offense as I'm learning more and more about it. And so I'm counting on, based on that, what I've seen, the kind of bodies they have out there in the offensive line, I'm assuming this team is going to be one of the better running teams we've had here at Colorado in a number of years. Now, Brady, that's not saying a whole lot, all right? You know, if you're the best rushing team at Colorado the last 10 years, that's like being the valedictorian of summer school. I mean, we have not had a good running team here for quite some time. So if they're able to do that on a consistent basis, I think that should be the cornerstone of what they try to do offensively, in which case that line's playing well, in which case those running backs, you know, the guy you mentioned from CSU, DeKalen Taylor, Richardson, all these guys that transferred in, those guys could have a nice year based upon that.
And Mark, I think I've mentioned this to you before, but I just want it to be known. Coach Prime should probably know this. I was able to take Damian Henderson in the college football game and make him a Heisman winner. So it's there. The potential is there, at least if you take the video game seriously, which obviously I do.
If we are in need of you to play him on the video game, I will make sure that I give Prime a little tidbit there, and maybe we can call you down to get that done.
Yeah, a lot of outside runs, you know, just get outside, know, that contain, and just take off with hot, nasty speed. So that was pretty easy for me, Mark, so I'll be ready. I'll be ready when Coach Prime needs some, you know, just how to manage a guy like Damian Henderson, because I mastered that.
I'm sure he will be tapping into that expertise at some point during the next couple months. Yeah, without question.
Mark, my man, always great to hear your voice. Can't wait to hear your voice on the call for a very big season coming up for the Buffaloes.
We're looking forward to it, partner. I look forward to talking to you next week.
Talk to you soon. Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. Yeah, you got a Damian Henderson, former CSU Ram, is now a Buffalo. To start off-season stuff, he was listed as like the fourth guy, but talking to Mark there, we talked to Brian Howell on Friday, certainly sounds like he is moving up that depth chart and he could be one to watch for the Buffs this season. And yeah, man, Fisher Clemens, former Bear, is in the tight end room for the Buffaloes, and big kid, great dude, rooting for him. So Mark says, right now, though, maybe not standing out as much. Zach Atkins certainly appears to be that guy, but who are the rest of these tight ends to watch out for? Will Fisher Clemens put his name in the mix? 36 minutes after the hour. Let's get back to our conversation, because this is an interesting one. I'm sorry, but that did dominate the news. This WNBA stuff did dominate the news, and If you don't think it did and you don't think it's worthy of a conversation, then like I said, you are living under a rock. I think the WNBA, I tweeted this out on Saturday night. I said, this is a very unserious league. Tell me why I'm wrong. Faith, tell me why I'm wrong. I want you to tell me why I'm wrong that this league is about a bunch of other stuff other than basketball.
It's about a bunch of whiny people.
It's just a lot of drama.
That's what it's become.
There's a lot of drama.
It's no longer a basketball league. It pisses me off.
Right,
it should be about basketball.
Yeah, and I'll get to that. But I did get this. Zach Stevens tweeting out, J.K. Dobbins left the Broncos practice field with trainers. That's what we've got right now. Dudes are just, I don't know if anything major. We did get one kind of major injury that will sideline a guy, but you haven't seen that up and down. Matt Henningsen, I think, tore his Achilles tendon. Well, and you don't want injuries to happen to anybody, but he's fourth, like a fourth string guy. So far, they haven't had any major names. Waddle's been kind of banged up, and Wattenberg's been banged up. You heard about the Nick Benito thing, and then we get this. Let's just get through it. Let's just get through training camp. 37 minutes after the hour, let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.